Little correction here. You saw, if you noticed, some dates and events up on your screen. One of those that said the 24th, we're having breakfast and Lord's Supper. It's if you notice in your bulletin, it's the 31st, and that's when it's supposed to be. That's Easter. Can't believe Easter on March 31st? But that's when we'll have the breakfast. And we always have the Easter breakfast, and then we do the Lord's Supper as part. That's appropriate on Easter Sunday. So, you know, just mark that down, and that's the real date. March 31, Easter Sunday, we'll have the Easter breakfast and the Lord's Supper that day. And the 24th just popped up there, and it just wanted to be recognized and just like people and notice me, the 24th. So disregard that and put the other, and we'll be good. One that I forgot to pray for that's certainly on our list, actually two people actually, and one is Catherine, who a lot of you don't know, but and Terry's been out for a while with Catherine, but we want her to know she's being prayed for. And then Joni. Joni's just having ups and downs and all around and a tough time. And we just want to, you know, don't forget those as you pray. That I think she was back in the hospital less than a week ago, and it just gets going. And so we want them back, and we pray for all of them to be healed. Lord, just touch them in your name and heal them as we pray for all these. And John is another one. We keep praying for John. He sent me a John Wayne mug over there. And courage is being scared, but saddling up anyway. Well, that's a good John Wayne saying there, isn't it? And it really is. And so for all of them, Lord, in Jesus' name, help them, help them, help them. Lift them up, strengthen them, heal all your people in Jesus' name. Oh, let's look at a fella that just, you know, is so much like us. You can go all over back, way back to the book of Daniel. And we're not going to talk about Daniel except that Daniel had a message from God to give to the king, not a pleasant experience. Well, you know, if God gives you a message and tells you to go tell the president that I said, that probably would not be your most pleasant moment, knowing that it will not be as well received as you'd like for it to be. And this is the same thing. Daniel, go tell the king that I said. You know, you'd want to be able to say, Lord, you outrank him, you go tell him. You know, and I'm just a peon here, but the Lord with Daniel, and you know Daniel's position, and God gave Daniel such wisdom. And his other, you know, three compatriots, if you want to call them that, they just were gifted Jewish people. Daniel had visions. We still are trying to understand. I was trying to think, how do I explain it? Daniel had some visions about coming things that we still don't know what they meant. And those that write all these, you know, books about the coming of Christ and the apocalypse and the Armageddon. You know, listen, I don't want to shatter anybody's dreams or anything, but how many books can you write and be wrong? Just after a while, stop buying them. I mean, if the guy or gal has written six other books and they were wrong every time, you might want to think, mate, why would I spend my money? And, you know, and each book is we've got it this time. We can't even figure out some of the things Daniel had visions about. We don't know how Jesus is going to come. Is he going to come before the tribulation? During? After? And by the way, we even have theological titles for all that. Pre-trib. So there's schools, theologians, depending on seminaries you go to and what denomination or churches, there's pre-tribulation. We're going to be raptured up, by the way, the word rapture is not even in Scripture, but we're going to be taken up before we have to suffer anything. And then there's those that say, no, in the middle of the great tribulation when the Antichrist rules, we'll be taken up. And then others say, no, we're going to go through it and it will be after. So you can hang on to whatever school of thought you want. Here's the only thing we know that Scripture teaches. We will be taken up. Jesus will come again, the trumpet will sound, and you'll get taken up. If you want to argue over when that's going to be, you can argue until he takes you up. Because we don't know, but you will be taken up. And you say, does that have anything to do with this? Well, this is a guy here that was given these kind of visions. And then suddenly God says to Daniel, let's quit talking, and we're not going to talk about the future so much right now as the present. And I want you to go and tell the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that he's just about, in an old country expression, he's just about to buy the farm. He's pushing me as far as I'm going to be pushed. I'm putting this in the way we would say it today, but he gave Daniel a vision, a dream, and he said, this is what I want you to tell the king, that he's pushed me as far as I'm going to go, and he has a chance to repent. And if he does not listen to this warning, some bad things are going to happen. So let's break in this, and I'm having to, you read this whole event. This is in Daniel 4:3-4, but I'm going to break into this. So Daniel, and I'm going to read as fast as I can in the New King James Version today, reads better, and it's much, I believe, more accurate to the text. And so Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. He was astonished at what God told him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or interpretation about trouble you. See, Daniel's moving up high in the kingdom. And so Daniel, Belteshazzar, answered and said, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you. He's been very diplomatic. He said, may this dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. Well, it didn't. But it was, you're in front of the king. This guy has the power of life and death over you, so you're trying to be as diplomatic as possible. So he says, the tree you saw and grew, and God had already given the king this vision, and he told Daniel to interpret. That's what Daniel was good at, by the way, was interpreting the visions that other people had. And so the king was already warned. Now God says, Daniel, go tell him what I'm telling him. He's not getting it. So he said, the tree you saw, it grew and became strong, its height reached to the heavens. And I'm going to try to work through this, and I may skip a few things, but just so you get the good idea of what's going on. He said, the leaves were lovely, and all this happened. He said, and the beast of the field dwelt, and he said, that it's you, O king. You're that tree. He said, what was he saying? He said, you're the man. You've conquered everybody. You've conquered every nation you wanted to conquer. You conquered all of us, took us over here prisoner. You own Israel. You own it all right now. And so you're a tree, and everybody looks to you for food, and they shelter under you, and it's your responsibility to care for them. I mean, you conquered them. And he said, that's you. You've become grown strong, and your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens. And your dominion to the end of the earth. I think Mr. King was feeling pretty good, don't you? You like to hear somebody brag on you that way, that you're the strongest guy in the world and conquered all the known earth at the time, and your dominion reaches to the heavens and all that. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, he said, so there was a watcher watching over you, watching everything you do. And he said, that watcher came down from heaven saying, chop down the tree. And there's the whoa moment. And I said, whoa. Because the king had a vision, and here's his tree, and the birds are sheltering in the branches, and everybody's feeding off the tree. And then suddenly, a holy one, the watcher from heaven. By the way, that's not, that hasn't gone away. That's not some, fantastic thing that happened one time. God's watching us. And through whatever means, his angels or whatever, the eyes of the Lord says roam all over the whole earth. He doesn't miss anything. And I have to, I'm never up here to scare anybody, but listen, and it scares me. God's watching. He's also listening. Everything. He sees it, he hears it. And he says, the watcher came down and said, chop the tree down. That's the king. I don't know why this guy couldn't get this. I mean, it's like, what's wrong with you? You have been given all of this great privilege, great authority, and you're starting to get too proud. That's what happened. He was proud and starting to take the credit for himself. And the watcher came down and said, we'll just chop the tree down and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the ground. And what he was saying was, I'm going to cut your power off. but I'm not going to pull you up by the roots. There's still going to be life, but it's just going to be a stump for a while. But you're going to get chopped down, King. You're going to get humbled. And we're going to cut you off, but we're going to leave the stump in the roots. So keep that in mind, because this didn't just happen then. This happens to all of us if we get a little too far away from God and get a little too proud and start taking credit for too many things, or we start getting... I'm ahead of myself. We'll talk about that in a moment. And he says, here's what's going to happen. Leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron. He said, now we're going to leave the stump, and then we're going to wrap it with iron. We're going to make it a captive. Iron and bronze. And in the tender grass of the field, let it be whipped with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field. And he said, we're fixed to take you, King, who have servants waiting on you, and you get the finest foods every day, and you lord it over everybody. Well, you're fixing to be cut off at the stump, as a stump, and you're going to be sent into the field, and you're going to be nothing but an animal. You think you're tough? The watcher is going to show you you're nothing without God. All of us need to hear that. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit whispering in our ears. And by the way, there are a lot of people in office right now, all in a lot of places, that need to hear God saying, you without me, you're nothing. And I can cut you off anytime I want to. And I can wrap you in iron and bronze. And you're not going anywhere or doing anything. And you're going to be out there like a wild animal. You want to take credit for yourself? Then go lick the dirt. I'm serious. That's what he's saying. I mean... We in the New Testament, there's a New Testament people, we forget that God still disciplines people. And you hear too many of these guys who just want to make money and be popular tell everybody that, you know, just feel good. It's okay. God would never allow anything bad to happen to you and all this, and God will bring you through it. It's going to give you riches and gold. And it's like, son, you're fixing to get cut off. The watcher's watching you too. And he doesn't like what you're telling people because it's not the truth. Any of us gets too proud, too high and mighty, too haughty. And so here it is. And so he said, this is the interpretation, King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They'll drive you from men. He said, they're going to drive you out of your kingdom. Your dwelling will be with the beast of the field, and they'll make you eat grass like oxen. They'll whet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times, whatever that really means, shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives. He said, there's going to be a long time here, and it's going to happen, and get this, you hear this? Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. He said, you're going to be out there like this until you get humbled and realize that you owe everything God, and you're not God, and I am God. And until you realize it, eat dirt. And we think God doesn't do that. Are you kidding? How many of you have been licking dirt? You think about it. How many of you have had things happen in your life and you literally, in an emotional sense, you were down there licking dirt? You thought you had it all and it was going great, and next thing you know, you're out there in the dew of heaven and you're out there like you're crazy as a wild animal. By the way, we're going to get to this, but I'll say it and then I'll repeat it. Every pastor likes repeating themselves anyway. But sin will make you crazy. Sin will cause you to do crazy things. Anybody ever in your life had that experience that sin made you do something? It made you do something really crazy. How about really stupid? Sin makes you really stupid. You just get so caught up in something, and next thing you know, why did I do that? Why did I say that? So there it is. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and root to the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you. He said, God is going to bring you back. That's the promise of God. No matter how much dirt you have to eat, no matter how low you get in life, no matter how much you have to be disciplined, God still won't throw you in hell because you're his people. You've asked Jesus into your heart, but boy, you can sure get down there where you experience in hell on earth. And this guy, so, yeah? This is the warning. I titled this message, God Has His Ways. God has His ways. We're worried right now. We're looking at things and coming elections and whole bunches of stuff, and you're worried about world events and border crossings, and it just goes, it's endless, right? We don't know what to do. What do you say? You know, pray, friends. Just pray. God is watching. The watcher is looking. He knows. He knows. He knows who's at fault, who's not. He knows what to do. Just don't get in His way. Let Him do it. And then let Him use you however He wants to use you. When God says speak up about it, speak up. And when God says be silent, be silent. If you need to send an email or whatever to your congressman, do it. And if he says not to, don't do it. Just do what God says. So let me start with this first point real quick, because I want to keep you all day. More privilege, just mark this down. This is an absolute fact. More privilege carries more accountability. The more God gives you, the more accountable you're held by the Lord. Up here, I'm accountable for a lot of things. Scares the dickens out of me. It does. To be so imperfect and know you're accountable for a lot. You're given a big responsibility here, and the privilege of bringing this message, and God using you as His temple, and He's also got, there's an accountability that scares the heck out of me. It should scare us all. It should keep you humble. It keep your heart right with the Lord. You know, a great blessing requires a great responsibility here, a great accountability. King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered every nation in the known world. He had taken Israel captive. He got the godliest and wisest people of Israel. They were helping him run his kingdom. That's why he was so successful. God let Daniel and Meshach, you know, those guys, Abednego. He used all of them. They were wise. They became administrators and counselors. Hey, listen, there people smarter than you, wiser than you, can make you look really good. You know what's wrong? I'm gonna meander just a second, but it's really on track. You know what's wrong with our leadership today? They are so weak in character, they don't hire people smarter than they are. That's why we're in trouble. You can't govern a nation or a state by yourself. The smart person, the leadership, true leadership says, I will accumulate around myself people wiser, more experienced, smarter than me. And they're too dumb to realize those people will make me look good. But if you hire people more dumb than you are, then you all look stupid. Is everybody with me? If you have a business, you start something, you do what, get people smarter than you. But you have to be strong in character and confident in yourself to not be intimidated by someone who says, we can do this better. And look what we're doing in companies. And it's not just politics, in companies, our businesses. It's that I'm insecure. I got to hire people more dumb than I am. God, look at it. You want people who know what to do. And you can stand back and take credit for it. Where have we lost this? But we have. It's nuts. And anyway, so King Nebuchadnezzar, he's a smart guy. He took these smart Jewish people, and they're the wisest people in his whole realm. And they're running everything for him, and he's looking good. Man, you don't have to have a lot of brains if you can just hire people around you or gather people around you that do have brains. That make you look smart. I thought that was kind of funny myself. But anyway, look at this. God, he was being used by God to discipline Israel. Now, that's the other part. Israel had rebelled against God, so God brought Nebuchadnezzar in to conquer them, to humble Israel. Because Nebuchadnezzar showed favor to the Israelites. Why did he do that? He's a Babylonian king. God put it in his heart. He didn't know why he was doing it. He was just doing it. See, God can put it in the heart of a king. He can change the heart of a king like he can change the course of a river, right? You've read that passage. Well, God can do that. So this guy shows favor. And God gave him Israel as captive, and he conquers everybody. Everything he had was a gift from God, but What happened? He took it for granted, and worst of all, he became proud, and he took personal credit for what God was doing. God help the pastor that ever does that. God help the pastor that ever says, my church, my ministry, look what we're accomplishing. God help the man that does, or woman that does that, because you're not doing anything. You're just a vessel. It's God using you and the people and blessing your ministry. God forbid that I should ever say up here, stand up here and say such a thing or think it in my heart. My church, my ministry, my gifting, my degrees, my training. God's saying, get ready. Ain't going to be nothing but a stump left out of you, Tony. And I don't want that to happen. So I'll say it now, and I pray it from the attitude, and keep this attitude in my heart, and you keep it in yours for yourself. Without Christ, that's in John 15, I can do nothing. My righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. And this man forgot that. He forgot that God gave him victory over these nations. He didn't do it. God did it. God just used him as his vessel. So he took credit, began to take credit for all this. And he became proud. He became careless. He got wrapped up in himself. Oh, we've never done that, have we? You ever got wrapped up in yourself? Poor me. Look at what's happening to me. I don't know why God lets all this happen to me. I hear it all the time when I sit with people. Tony, you just don't understand. God is just letting all this happen. Me. He got wrapped up in himself. And you know what? When you do that, that's a recipe for disaster. Or it's a recipe for the loony bin. Depends on, you know, whatever happens to you. Friends, listen. What happened to him was he let the things in life become more important than God. And I'll just ask you, are the things in your life, your love, your loyalty, your money, is that becoming more important than God? People are using today, and I hear it everywhere. Tony, the inflation, the economy, I don't tithe as much and all that. Did God tell you to do that? Or are you telling God that's the way it is? I hear pastors everywhere saying, man, we're getting hurt financially and all that. And people are saying, we're just having to cut back. Well, are you cutting back on anything else? Did you sell that new vehicle and get an older one so you'd have more money? I know. Here's what you hear. Careful. We can all do the same thing he did. And we can make excuses why we're not doing what God wants us to do, or giving like God wants us to give, and the next thing you know, then we don't have. He says, give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, run over without measure. He didn't say, be stingy and I'll still bless you for it. No, he said, give. I don't care what's going on. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't take anything for granted. Don't take your church for granted. Don't take this church for granted. Don't take your husband, your wife for granted. Don't take your kids, don't take me, don't take anybody for granted. Just thank God every day for them. Because listen, the watcher, he's watching. Does that scare you a little bit? He's watching. God's looking at the attitude of our hearts. And so don't let the things of this world, and don't let all this stuff, and whatever you do, don't let the news persuade you too much. It can really upset you and depress you. Even what I call some good news agencies, it seems like everything they say is still bad. They've got us convinced the Chinese are going to invade us before next year. I hope to God they don't. Don't you? You know what can stop them, don't you? I've seen God, you read in the scripture, I've seen where God just took and blinded everybody. I've seen where he's taken whole armies and turned them against each other, and they killed each other. What are you worried about? You're going to fight? You're going to put on your spiritual armor and fight? Somebody asked me here not long ago, said, Tony, at your age, would you still fight? I said, what do you mean? I fight all the time. I pray and prayer and yeah, but would you fight? And to my last breath, I'll fight for my God, my freedom. It's like, you can't run anymore like a good infantryman. You used to jump on those airplanes. You guys could run for miles. Oh, I can walk for feet. I'll cover what ground I can. Everybody with me? Don't you quit. You know when you quit? When God calls you home. And the rest of the time you wrestle with that devil and you pray. You know how you do it in prayer. You pray for others. You pray. God answers prayer. The righteous, the prayer of a righteous person, what does it say? Prevails much, accomplishes a bunch. And every one of us in here can pray. Don't back up, don't back down, come forward. But be careful, give God the glory. Because if you don't, oh, the watcher's watching. So let me get through this. I like this story probably more than you do, but because it's so real, you can look at that and say, oh, that was something that happened at one time. This is happening all the time. We all get proud. Have you ever gotten real proud in your life and then, boy, you got humbled to no end? And you were bragging about this or that. Next thing you know, we don't need you anymore. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, me too. You know, I hope. I've learned my lesson. Don't brag about anything in the church. Every time I've ever tried to brag on my ministry, something happens. You know, pastors get with each other, and this is so annoying. I hate it. You know, pastors inflate figures. I know, they don't lie. They just pastorally exaggerate. That you say, how many members? This is the big thing in the pastoral. How many members? It's always, still comes up. How many members have you got? And then we measure each other's success by that, right? And there's always the temptation. You know, it's like, well, we got this many on Sunday, but I'm sure there's this many more that should be here, and then we'll add those that are coming. So that ought to give us about, 1,000 or so. How easy that is to do. And yet before you do it, and I hear these guys talk about, and I know their churches, and it's like, you're not running a fourth that many. But, you know, there's the pride and all. But then the reminder, and the watcher is watching. He's watching. He's got good ears. Got real good eyes. So let's hit the second point, okay? Big blessings come with big warnings. You do. God, listen, you got a big blessing? He'll give you a big warning. You got to watch this. And so, you know, listen, God, listen to me. God will warn you before he disciplines you. And so many people say, I didn't see that coming. Oh, you weren't listening. God is not a mean God. He'll caution you. He'll send you a warning just like he did this king. He told Daniel. Daniel tries to explain it to him. But the guy's ego and his pride ate him up. The warning was there. Listen to me. As a loving father, God will caution and warn his people. Hasn't this happened to you? You look back and say, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Right? How did you know? God was warning you. Don't do that. Don't go over there and say that to them. Don't. But your ego got to you and you did it anyway, right? In the night, you got to thinking, while they're looking at me like I'm a wimp. They think I'm a sissy. They think I don't have any courage. I'm going to go tell them off. You ever done this? This is not just exclusive to men either. Ladies, you have I'm as much pride as any guy. You know, we all do. And boy, I'm going to get them. And the watcher is watching. God does not, listen, God does not enjoy having to let something happen to get our attention. That's why he sends warnings. He doesn't want to do it. You know why God lets it happen? He loves you too much to let you run out here on your own. God's not going to let you destroy your life without him interfering and warning you, trying to stop you. If you're just hell-bent on destruction, he'll eventually step back and let you hit the wall. Anybody hit the wall in this place? You ever just run and then God let you hit the wall? Knocked you flat? Yeah, thanks. I mean, it happens. God didn't enjoy any of it. Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God with his lips, but not in his heart, and he got filled with pride. You know, the scripture says the love of money is the root of all sin. Why? Because it's always accompanied by what? Pride. The love of money is also wrapped and encased in pride. Look at me. Look at my house. Look at my stuff. Anyway, don't want to make you feel bad. This is not this. We learn from this. And even right now, we probably, if we're honest in our hearts, God's speaking to us and giving us some clear warnings about some things. He's saying, watch that temper. Watch that cussing. Watch that drinking. Careful with what you're turning to. Watch it. Watch it. You got a bad attitude. You're getting cynical. You're getting you with me. And he's telling us same thing. Don't make me. Sometimes I look at God and it's like God's in the front seat driving and he's saying, don't you make me stop this car. And it's true. And it's like, and it's like we are. We're just kids like that, and we just get so rambunctious. And all of us have heard that, right? And we laugh at it. But don't you make me stop this car. And we, as adults, we do the same thing. And there's God saying, don't make me stop this car. But our pride, and we're caught up, and she touched me, he hit me. And we think that's just a little kid thing in the back seat. And Christians do it in churches all the time. She looked at me. She's talking about me. He was rude to me in the parking lot. Wee, 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 wee. You need to call a wambulance. Really? Don't we do it? We don't really grow up. We just camouflage these childish things. We're still that way. And God's saying, don't make me get in that backseat. So he sends these warnings. Watch that attitude. You quit picking on people. You don't have to raise a hand or anything. But listen, how many of you are getting really cynical with the way the world is right now and this whole country is? And you're saying things you ought not say, and you're looking at things just totally from, your tunnel. You got that tunnel vision. I mean, you've got it down now. You just can't see the whole picture anymore. You don't trust anybody. You don't trust anything. You get to where somebody tries to be positive with you and you cut them down. You don't want to hear it. Just want to hear this negative. That's all it is. What's it? You know, you've all heard this expression. I just said to me here the other day, not here, but out and about. And a guy said to me, Tony, I thought, God, that's an old, that's old. The world's just going to hell in a handbasket. I thought, I've been hearing that since I was a kid. And I hope it's not going to hell, and it's not. I hope there's something better than a handbasket. Listen to this. Pride will reveal itself. You ready for this? Pride will reveal itself when you begin to put others down, when you have a need to control, when you start getting really stubborn and walking around with your feelings on your shoulder, up here like knocked a little chip off, hurt my feelings today. That's when you know pride is in there. That's when you know pride's getting the best of you. When I begin to resist God's authority, and listen to me, I've said this before in a message, it's been a while. Many times what we consider self-esteem, somebody said, I just don't have any self-esteem. I get my feelings hurt all the time. And I've gotten to where you see through that and say, you know what's wrong with you? It's not low self-esteem. It's pride. You have too much pride. What? No, I don't have any pride. Yes, you do. Pride gets self-centered. If you didn't have any low self-esteem, you wouldn't think about yourself. Listen, people with really true low self-esteem, they don't think nothing of themselves. But why are you thinking of yourself so much? And everybody's hurting me, and everybody's hurting my feelings. And then you're proud. Somebody's stepping on your pride. Your little egos, so why don't we deal with them? Let God deal with it. We let people off the hook, saying, "Poor thing, their self-esteem has been shattered, and all their pride needs to go." Quit being so focused on yourself like he was. Well, I know you want to hear the rest of it, right? So let's move there. When we start putting others down, when we start getting hurt all the time, we defy God's authority. God warned Nebuchadnezzar. He did it through Daniel. Listen to this. God uses godly people to help us. But we often do what when they try to help us? Get offended. They're meddling. We get an attitude. Who do they think they are? Be open to let God speak to your heart through another Christian godly person. If they're condemning you, that's one thing. But if they're speaking the word of God to you, take that pride and give it to God and listen to what they're saying. It may save you from being cut off and going nuts like a wild animal. Godly people, listen to this. Godly people, I just made a little note. Godly people will not hit you with the Bible. They will speak in the love of the Holy Spirit. A godly person will not rear back and slam you with a whole bunch of scriptures and put you down. They're going to speak with the love of God. They're going to speak the truth in love through the Holy Spirit. By the way, these are just little notes with this. We're closing here pretty quick. It's hard to listen with humility when you're proudly speaking. It's hard to listen with humility when you're proudly speaking. How many of you, when somebody's been talking to you and they're sharing something you don't want to hear, you're already thinking of the rebuttal and not listening to what they're saying? And we do that with God when he is saying, "I'm speaking to you," and we don't hush up and listen. But what? You going to tell him he doesn't know what they said? But God, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like to be abandoned. You don't know what it's like to be rejected. Really? Talk to Jesus and ask him. I think he does. All right. We know the warnings here. And Nebuchadnezzar, what's wrong with that boy? There comes a time when it takes what it takes. He wouldn't listen. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he's walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built?" Oh, doesn't this make you just shudder? It's like, what's wrong with you? "This is the great Babylon that I built for a royal dwelling, for my mighty power and the honor of my majesty." You hear that? Mine. Look, you've been warned. Can't you just see it happening? There's the watcher up there going, "You see this? Oh, I see it. Oh, yeah. Look at him." And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it's spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they'll drive you from here, and they're going to do all these things, and they'll make you eat grass like the oxen." And in the very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was whipped with the dew of heaven. Can you imagine? I mean, can you envision this? And his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. God, I don't want any of that, do you? Let me ask you something. How many of you, with sin in your life, have done similar things? You say, "Oh, come on, I didn't have my hair and my body grow like feathers and all that." How did people perceive you when you were in sin, in rebellion? Were you nice? Were you pleasant? The question here is, how did they see you? Just about as ugly and rotten as they saw him. When we let sin dominate us, when we give in to evil, When we start arguing with God, we get mad at God. Don't say people don't get mad at God. Most of us in here, for real honest, have been aggravated, frustrated, mad at God, at least for a little period of time. But if you begin to dwell on that and you let it stay in your heart, the next thing you know, your claws are going to get out there and you're raking people with sarcasm, bitterness. You're doing the same thing that happened to him, except verbally you become just as filthy and stinking before people as he was. That's the warning, the caution. Don't let sin and evil dominate your life. Don't give in to the darkness that's trying to come on all of God's people. Satan is using things out here to try to bring a darkness on us. And listen, don't speak darkness. Speak light. This is powerful stuff. And it's relevant, and it's here today. I don't know interesting. It's happening now. So this guy's out here. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't get it. He wouldn't listen. He lost his senses. He became alienated from the people. And the saddest part of all, everybody could see it coming but him. When sin overcomes you, you're going to commit more sin to protect your hidden sin. It's called the sin cycle. You're going to commit sin and tell more lies and do all these things, make more excuses to cover up this instead of just coming clean. Your actions and attitudes are going to become so ugly to those around you, you're going to be just like him. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen anything more ugly than a Christian that's now defying their God? You don't want to be around them. You can't be around them. They act crazy. They literally become wild animals, growing feathers and claws and flapping their wings and scratching and biting everybody. Don't they? I've had to tell more than one person, you know, and you got to say it with love, but they come and say, I'm going to talk to you about my problems and all this. And finally, there's so many times I've had to say, I use the same phrase, but with different people. You remind me of a little yapping dog that somebody kicked when it was a puppy. And now you're snapping at every leg that walks by. And sometimes they get mad and they just get up and walk off. But a lot of times that soaks in. It's like, am I really like that? It's like, yes, you are snapping at your husband or your wife, whichever it is, your kids, your family, your church members. You're like a little dog that got wounded and now you just snap at everybody before they step on you. When is that going to stop? There's a whole bunch of God's people trying to reach down and pet you. And some would like to pick you up and hold you if you'll just quit biting everybody. Closing? Yay. Thank you very much. You got a free lunch for that. Thank you. Remember this. When you look up, you'll get up. Amen. When you look up, you'll get up. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. No matter how far you sink, no matter how stupid you may act, and no matter how many people you may claw, God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness will be right there. You will never, ever get away from God. You may grow claws, you may get nasty, but God's grace is there. And all God's waiting for you to do is look up. Look to me and recognize I am the Lord and you are not. And let the humility come in and confess your pride, your sins. And let's move on. And he said, God's dominion is an everlasting. Boy, look at this guy now. He's not that proud, arrogant king, is he? Oh, Lord, he's out in the field and his old claws are hanging out there and he's filthy, he's nasty, eating grass like a lot of animals. And he's covered with the water and the dew and the mud, nasty, stinky. And he's saying, oh God, your dominion is an everlasting dominion. Your kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. God does according to his will in the army of heaven. Boy, he realized that, didn't he? God's going to do his will. Without you, I'm nothing. God does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? He got it. It takes what it takes, friends, but he got it. By the way, just a word for you as a caring Christian, counseling other Christians, there is a time to wait on the Lord. It takes what it takes. Let them hit the wall. I'm going to say this. I didn't know if I could work it in or not, but quickly, just this statement. Many a parent is trying too hard to rescue their kids when what you need to do is take one step back and say, all right, son, hit the wall. And I'll pick you up. But you're going to hit it. I am not going to bail you out this time. And that can be to a husband, to a wife. Somebody's drinking too much, taking drugs, whatever it is. And there comes a time when you say, I love you. But just like the Lord, and I'm going to step back and you're going to hit it. You're going to need to get cut down just like this, and then we'll be there for you. Everybody with me? All right. You can't say to him, what have you done? So, leave you with this. His sanity returned. The minute he looked up, his sanity returned. So will yours when you give up your hidden sin. He praised, he worshiped, and he honored God. He was lost, but now is found. Was blind, but now he sees. He was alone, but never forsaken. He was lost, but restored. And he was given more in the end than he had in the beginning. These go-home words, God is loving. God is faithful. God is forgiving. And God is restoring. And he wants only the very, very best for each and every one of you. Even if it means letting you hit the wall, be cut down in the grass, he's there. He's watching. And as soon as you look up, you'll get up. Thank you for the power, the saving grace of your word. Thank you that a long time ago, a king had to go through this stuff so that we, when we go through this stuff, will know there's still hope at the end. There's restoration, there's love, there's goodness, there's forgiveness. And you never leave us. And you never forsake us. And whoever comes to you, just like you said in your word, you will in no way cast out. Thank you, God. Keep us looking up so we can get up and stay up. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you all so much for being here.